broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December 26th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances are brilliant and put in place by the founding fathers. That is one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. I had an incredible Christmas holiday. Pray you and your family did as well. Kirk Crosby with me. Merry Christmas, sir. Hope you had a great holiday. All right, we'll try to get Kirk back in the meantime. News the networks refuse to use starts now. We talked about Mitch McConnell says the Senate will reconvene on Thursday, December the 27th. So tomorrow, Congress comes back. And since they take these big, long weekends, I think they'll be back for one day. Then they'll have a big time off until Monday. Seems like a complete waste, folks. One of the things that I really have frustration with regards to Congress, why do they literally work three-day work weeks for the most part? They take Mondays off and Fridays off, and they're called travel days. And why don't they just literally come to Washington, work solid, you know what, for like, I don't know, 10 days, 12 days straight, and then go home and spend time with their constituents? Congressmen and senators are always so busy, but I find that they're not busy doing much. The idea that you're going to come back on the 27th, and then you're going to basically leave for Friday, and then you're going to be gone for the New Year's, when do you start again? What's the advantage to coming back 1 or 2 days? Well, Sam, to get this vote done that we've got to do to open the government again. You know what? You could have done that before you left. See, they're so inefficient. Everything about the system breeds this inefficiency. All right, we talked about this incredible salt injection. Kills cancer cells. And they say that it does so by causing them to self-destruct in a good way. They say that it could pave the way for new drugs to reduce and or get rid of cancer, the disease, if you will, prevent disease. You know what? Why do we need it to turn into a drug? I mean, does everything have to be a drug? Sadly, in our society, Big Pharma is the only way forward. But we talked to Himalayan pink salt for cancer. Do we really need it to be a drug? Do we really need it to be incredibly expensive? There's got to be better ways. All right, Donald Trump says that he'll accept less money for his border wall. That's what the White House is saying, but I don't even get it. $5 billion isn't even enough to finish the wall. So accepting less is just a non-starter. Donald, don't cave now, buddy. Some are saying Donald's being strong. Others are saying he's already ready to back out and capitulate. Time will tell what really happens, huh? We talked about a New York City subway rider doing a phenomenal job for Christmas. Found a Chanel purse and turns it in, even though he knew it had $10,000 in it. Didn't take a penny, just returned it. Said he didn't think for 1 second about taking the money. What a tremendous example. We need more of that in America, folks. We need more of that around the world. They say Jim Mattis to leave on January 1st. Deputy Patrick Shanahan to replace him as acting defense secretary. So acting, I guess, means temporary defense secretary. But this guy comes from Boeing. He's a swamp monster to the nth degree. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds. I tweeted Donald Trump, at real Donald Trump, number sign, which means hashtag, clown media shows true colors. They promote evil, race baiting, politically driven agenda. Their goal is simple, to destroy America. Yesteryear, clown media is becoming irrelevant and melting down fast, believe me. So that was my tweet to the Donald. Senator Rand Paul says he's very proud of the President of the United States for the decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. I agree with that. That's a big discussion going forward, too, by the way. We, believe it or not, agree with Ocasio-Cortez for once. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that lawmakers should lose their salaries when they shut down the government. She's right as rain. I don't know that I can ever find the topic that I agree with her on, but hey, why should they continue to get paid when they're the ones that allowed the government to shut down? And what about always funding the constitutional government and rejecting the unconstitutional government and doing that consistently? What about that? All right, we talked about incredible historic cash flows returning to the United States for the third quarter after the tax act, or tax cuts, if you will. That's good news. Do you think Donald Trump will fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell? He's not happy with the Fed. Well, he needs to do a whole lot more than just fire the Fed chairman. He needs to shut down the Fed entirely and go back to constitutional currency. I guess the Feds are not done with Nevada rancher Clive and Bundy, WND.com, with that piece. They want to try to open the case against him, even though they've lost over and over and over. But the government just has endless funds. They're afraid to have egg on their face. They got to get the last laugh. Out of control government, folks. That was hour one on what, Monday's show? Tuesday we had a break for Christmas. Wednesday we're back at it live. Second hour on Monday. We had our guest on, Mr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation. He's got incredible webinars, ladies and gentlemen. Check them out at freedomsrisingsun.com. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. Wealthy Republicans lose faith in Donald Trump, they say, as nearly 40% say they wouldn't back him for re-election, says a survey. But you know what? I don't like the way these headlines are written. Nearly 40%? Well, that means 60% still supports him. And with a little bit of work with Donald visiting with them and talking with them and explaining how deep the swamp is, please support me. Here's my agenda. Here's what I need your help with. More than 60% would support President Trump. So I just don't like these headlines. They're manipulative as all get out. John Dingell, former senator, he says the Senate should be abolished. The guy's nuts. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like saying, man, my marriage has gone south because I cheated on my spouse and everything went wrong. Let's just abolish marriage. That isn't the answer. The solution is the institution, if you will. We need to return to the proper role. If you got problems with marriage, maybe you ought to obey the principles that relate to marriage. If you got problems with the country, maybe you ought to bring back the principles that made the country great in the first place, huh? Abolish the Senate. It's the only way to rein in modern presidents, says the Washington Post. You see this agenda from these people? They're crazy. I say reject them. Stand for the proper role of limited constitutional government. Use the blueprint for liberty as your guide. That is the Constitution. We will never have a great society again unless we have great families. We'll never have great families unless we apply moral, godly principles and turn to God rather than government. And I'm telling you right now, we'll never have a great country, a great society, if we don't obey the principles laid forth in the supreme law of the land. An incredible balance, walking an incredible fine line of government necessity versus government run amok. Democratic operatives creating fake Russian bots designed to link the Kremlin or Russia to the Alabama Roy Moore race. And they said there was no vote fraud, huh? We told you there was vote fraud from the get-go on that thing. Hopefully Larry Klayman and Roy Moore can see the solutions there and go to court and, well, maybe the truth shall set us free, huh? Supreme Court intervenes, and they call it an apparent mystery Mueller case. I'm telling you, this thing, all these shenanigans just stink to high heaven, folks. But do you think the swamp's too deep? Is the swamp just too deep to do anything about it? Some would say yes, I say no. Radio silence. Stations are set to dump Michael Savage. What do you think will happen with that, huh? Is Michael Savage going to be taken down as the big talk show host? Some are saying he's not being taken down completely. He's just switching times. But I submit to you that's how it starts. They first give you a worse time, and then they go, oh, man, you don't have good ratings. Well, yeah, because you put me on a worse time. Bottom line is they don't like a lot of the things that Michael Savage has been saying or doing. You know, he's reporting too much news the networks refuse to use. Michael Savage isn't my favorite host. But he's better than most, I'll tell you that right now. There you have it. That's the recap that took place on Monday, Christmas Eve day, if you will. And then we took a break for Christmas. I had a delightful Christmas. Hopefully you did as well. And now news the networks refuse to use starts now. And let's start out with Rush Limbaugh in the news. Well-known big talker. He's been at the talk of the top of the talk heap for decades because the mainstream press loves him and syndicates him. He says he's a water boy for the Republican Party. His own words, by the way. So, you know, he's a Republican hack, but he says some right things from time to time. And when he does, I got to give him credit. And this is one of them. Limbaugh says Trump can build border wall without Congress. Why? Well, he doesn't have just some of that executive power. He has all of that executive power. And you know what? He's right as rain. There's plenty of money and plenty of kitties. We've talked about how these government agencies have so much money. The Pentagon does it all the time. They literally have a bunch of money left on the table for their budgets that they didn't spend. They just squirrel it away for a rainy day. They spend it on whatever they want to without accountability. They're doing it all the time. Barack Obama sent $150 million. Or was it $150 billion? I can't remember. Anyway, maybe it was billion. To the, what, Iraqis? I mean, no oversight there. How come all the other people in government don't have restraints for money or accountability for, but Donald does? And can't Donald declare a national emergency on the border and get it done and then have Congress follow up? That's what they do with wartime all the time. At what point does he have authority and where is the Constitution? Rush says he's got all the power and he doesn't need Congress to build the border wall. Then how come he isn't doing it? Does Donald not know what his power is?
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I think Rush Limbaugh's absolutely right. Donald Trump can build the border wall, doesn't need Congress to get it done. There's plenty of money already in place for national security. I don't know if Donald doesn't know that he has the power. I don't know if he's, but the poor guy is just so timid in many ways. He talks big, but when it comes push comes to shove, he doesn't get anything done. It's kind of sad. But here's what Donald says about border or what, security? It's our border security. Donald Trump, listen up.
The Democrats are absolute hypocrites. All along, they've been supporting walls and supporting fences and supporting all sorts of border security.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple.
Look, I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked.
The fact is they've always supported fences and walls and partitions, but you know what? They only don't want to do it because of me. They have to put the people ahead of politics. We need to have the wall. We need border security. Whatever it takes to get border security, I will do it. I pledged that a long time ago, and I will pledge it always. We've done a really fantastic job with what we have. We can do an almost perfect job if we have the wall and proper border security. And that's what we're going to do for the American people.
Now, I agree with Donald Trump, Kurt. Do you agree with him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, I agree. Now, Rush Limbaugh says Donald can do it and he doesn't need Congress. There's already plenty of money. Guess who agrees with Rush Limbaugh, Kurt?
You?
Yes. And so do you. Mm-hmm. And Rand Paul agrees, too. Rand Paul's on that Jake Tapper show. Why he's on that show instead of with us, I don't know. But nevertheless, here's what Rand Paul had to say.
When we've had shutdowns in the past, it's usually because the Republican Party is trying to get the federal government to spend less money. This is the first time I can ever think of that Republicans are forcing a shutdown because they want to spend more money and not offset by any tax increases or spending cuts. Do you support the president shutting down the government until he gets the $5 billion for the border wall?
You know, I've never been a fan of saying we're going to shut it down purposefully, but I've also not been a fan of keeping it open and spending so much money that we're bankrupting the country. This year, the deficit will be about $1 trillion, and so I don't want to add more money. The bill they've got up there already looks like a Christmas tree with all things added. I'm not against border wall funding, though, but I would find it and pay for it. Right now, we're spending $50 billion a year in Afghanistan. We could easily find $5 billion for a wall if we weren't spending so much money, you know, building and rebuilding Afghanistan.
Think about that, Kurt. There you go. I'm telling you right now, I don't understand what this shutdown's all about, except I think we're being played with the citizens. Donald acts like his hands are tied. He acts like there's nothing he can do about it. But, Kurt, we spend so much money. So much money on foreign aid. So much money on the war, on war mentalities. So Rand Paul's in the news because he's saying, hey, we can get the wall done, and we don't need to use any new money. We can use existing money. And Rush Limbaugh's saying Donald doesn't even need Congress for the border wall. But I submit to you, here's the big problem, and I've railed on this forever. As you know, we're constitutionalists. That does not mean we're right. That does not mean we're left. It means we walk right down constitutional lane, right? And I've mentioned to you over and over and over that we've got to reduce the wars we're in. We are the biggest arms dealer in the world. And people always said, oh, Sam, do you got a source for that? Yeah, listen to this.
A Swedish think tank says Russia has emerged now as the world's second largest arms producer behind the United States.
Russia surpassed Britain, which had held the spot since 2002 and remains Western Europe's number one arms maker. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute says in its report of the world's 100 biggest armaments groups that the combined arms sales of Russian companies amounted to $37.7 billion in 2017, or 9.5% of a total of $398.2 billion, recording 8.5% year-on-year growth. The U.S. continued to dominate the list with 42 companies, accounting for 57% of total sales, including the world's largest arms producer, Lockheed Martin.
So the United States is by far the biggest arms producer in the world. Okay? Just think about that for a minute. Kurt, we fund and train and arm the enemies around the world, and we wonder why the world's got such a war mentality. And then Donald tries to bring the troops home, and he gets opposition from all of his Republican colleagues. But they run on a humble foreign policy. They just don't obey one when they get in office. And so I'm not here to attack President Trump over it, but I am here to say I think Donald Trump just doesn't go far enough. Okay, the swamp gets deeper, for example, Kurt. Who the heck is this Patrick Shanahan guy? Well, it turns out that a look of the of Trump's new acting defense secretary, he has no prior military experience whatsoever, Kurt, and he was known in Boeing as the Boeing fix-it man, Kurt. Now, do you think that's the guy we need there? I don't think so. That all that guy's going to do is basically promote more creation of military hardware, more distribution of arms around the world. He's not going to rein in and say, well, golly, let's have less contracts go to Boeing. Let's have less government expenditures on military hardware and the military industrial complex. This isn't the guy to do that at all. So Donald picks a guy with no experience, but a deep swamp monster. You could say, well, no, Sam, this guy's from the private sector. He's an executive. Yeah, living on government contracts through Boeing his whole life. So the revolving door kicks in, and if we're going to find somebody with no, quote, experience, why not find a patriot that wants less war, Kurt? So I appreciate Donald's plight, but I don't think we're banging on the right issues here. We're not having the real discussion. As far as I can see. All right, it's too hot of a topic, I guess. Let's move to a softer topic. Kurt wants to talk about a study. And this study has to do with giving rather than receiving, huh, Kurt?
All right. You know, at least I don't remember this story exactly, Sam. This was, let's see.
It says, study, joy from giving lasts much longer than joy from, well, they say joy from giving lasts much longer from joy from giving is what it says. Actually, it's getting, right? Not the same, Kurt. So if you give, you get much more joy than if you get, is what they're saying.
Very good.
Right? You familiar with this?
Well, I know at least we recommend that kind of thing on a regular basis.
Well, we recommend giving for sure, but for every giver, there's got to be a receiver.
Yeah,
I don't think people understand
that. Be a good and grateful receiver is an important part of the picture, but so many times Christmas, especially people, sometimes we focus too much on getting instead of giving.
I think the focus should be on the giving, and then whenever we receive, we ought to be grateful receivers.
That's right.
So I ought to spend my time and my efforts, my thoughts, and my on giving, but then whenever I receive, and you know, I need to be gracious so someone else can have that blessing of focused on giving too. And I think there's a balance there, but I do agree that our focus should
Good
be on
point.
Giving rather than receiving for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things that there's people have talents, and some people, believe it or not, have talents to give great gifts. They think about the gifts they give rather than just be like, hey, I'm going to buy dad a tie. Now, I'm not against ties. I'm just making a point that sometimes people spend time to really give meaningful gifts and such like that. Right. And so I think it's important to think about the gifts that you give. And it doesn't always have to do with money. It can have to do with service. My daughter and her husband gave me and my wife an incredible gift this year. It was basically 12 months. And it was a date night every month. And we have to open an envelope or an envelope. And it's got the details of some things we can do for the date or whatever and things that they'll do for us. Related to the date, and it's kind of a cool gift. It's really neat. It's a, you know, a gift of service and a gift of love, and it was really thoughtful and idea generating tank for date night and stuff like that. It was pretty neat, and I liked it. So that's what we mean by that, folks. It's good to give, and it's good to be creative in your giving. It's good to spend time and focus on giving. Anything else from the study that's important, Kurt?
Not that I can remember. I just remember another story about a, you know, this is a woman who was a pretty good seamstress. And at one time she recognized the leader of her church, Spencer W. Kimball, recognized that he had got a brand new suit. She made him a tie, and I'll tell you the rest of the story after the break.
This is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, and we are live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, we're talking about this study, Much More Joy from Giving Than Getting. And we realize for every giver, there must be a receiver, but you can be grateful and gracious in your receiving, and you can focus on your giving. Kurt was telling us about a seamstress doing just that.
That's right, and this seamstress name was Susan, and the story goes President Spencer W. Kimball lived in her ward. One Sunday, Susan noticed that he had a new suit.
Yeah, if you're not careful, you're talking gibberish. So this guy's name is Spencer W. Kimball. A ward is a congregation, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Keep going.
You know, like every word that we say, people can look it up if they don't understand it, or like what I have to do a lot of times. But anyway, Susan noticed that he had a new suit. Her father had recently brought her some exquisite silk fabric. Susan thought that fabric would make a handsome tie to go with President Kimball's new suit. So on Monday, she made the tie. She wrapped it in tissue paper and walked up the block to President Kimball's home. On her way to the front door, she suddenly stopped and thought, "Who am I to make a tie for the prophet? He probably has plenty of them." Deciding she had made a mistake, she turned to leave. Just then, Sister Kimball opened the front door and said, "Oh, Susan." Stumbling all over herself, Susan said, "I saw President Kimball in his new suit on Sunday. Dad just brought me some silk from New York, and so I made him a tie." Before Susan could continue, Sister Kimball stopped her, took hold of her shoulders, and said, "Susan, never suppress a generous thought." This lady telling the story said, I love that. Never suppress a generous thought. Sometimes when I have an impression to do something for someone, I wonder if it was a prompting or just my own thoughts. But I am reminded that that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God. Whether they are direct promptings or just impulses to help, a good deed is never wasted, for charity never faileth and is never the wrong response. There you go, Sam.
All right, excellent. Yeah, we need to give more than receive. We need to focus on the giving. And there's a point there to be mentioned, too, that, you know, when you're prompted to do good, folks, don't question it. Don't second guess it. Just do your best to carry it out, right? I think that's important to kind of remember, too. Anyway, great study, by the way. All right, funding for salaries to jailed terrorists cut. What the heck?
Well, yeah, this is a WorldNet Daily piece, and, you know, basically their source is what's called Palestinian Media Watch, and they reported that the Dutch parliament approved a plan to reduce funding for the Palestinian Authority only days after the Middle East Monitoring Organization presented information about the terrorist salaries. Now, when we say terrorist salaries, you say, what's that? Well, these are salaries paid by the Palestinian Authority to imprison terrorists and the families of suicide bombers long... well, this has been happening for quite some time, and so you ask, well, how does this all work? Well, it just shows you how, in many ways, our own funding, whether it's our, you'd call it foreign aid, gets redirected basically right to the terrorists themselves, because even guys that are in prison, their families, and the terrorists themselves receive money from you know, that group. And so, like this story says, the United States adopted what was called the Taylor Force Act earlier this year, requiring that payments to the Palestinian Authority be cut if the terrorist salaries continued. Australia also decided a few months ago to cut direct aid to the Palestinian Authority. The Netherlands was the first European country to act.
Yeah, anyway, but as long as we continue to fund and train and arm terrorists and enemies around the world and stuff like that, Kurt, I don't know that they're cutting it'll make a difference. What if we, as in America, join them?
That's apparently what happened earlier this year, Sam, with what's called the Taylor Force Act. I just didn't know about it. And
well, of course, because the media doesn't tell you about it. You get lucky and dig and find it. See, in my opinion, that kind of stuff, Kurt, is one of the greatest. What word am I looking for? One of the greatest acts of Donald Trump in concert with the United States government. There's a lot of good going on, and we just don't hear about it. That happened in 18, huh?
That's what the WorldNet Daily Peace says.
Now, in my mind, shouldn't we be trumpeting that from the tops of the everywhere, Kurt? I mean, hey, we're funding less terrorism. We're going to have less terrorism around the world, and we realize there's a problem here, and we're not going to do that anymore. And where's the mainstream press to report that, Kurt?
Yeah, it's a good point. Like they say here, WorldNet Daily reported when the United Nations insisted the U.S. continue payments to the Palestinians, one official publicly berated the U.S. for not paying more than its fair share of costs for a U.N. refugee program after President Trump curbed support to motivate Palestinians to be serious about negotiating for peace with Israel. WorldNet Daily reported the president urged the withholding of tens of millions of dollars from funds that support Palestinians. His efforts were met with the threat of terrorism from Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. According to Bloomberg, Abbas told the UN Security Council he will not meet with U.S. officials until Trump reverses his recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He went far beyond that, though. He finished his address with a warning, which others may read as a threat, of violence unless the U.S. restores funds that were cut to the UN Relief and Works Agency, which administers to millions of Palestinian refugees. The report says if you end your assistance, they become terrorists or refugees in Europe. It's either that or you continue to support until the crisis ends. We are ready to begin negotiations. We beg you to help us so that we may not commit an act that goes beyond our beliefs and your beliefs. Anyway, the Trump administration rejected the UN calls for it to pay $364 million, and they sent only $60
million. Well, so, I wouldn't have sent the $60 yeah. million, but hey, I'll take what right. we can get, and I got to commend Donald Trump, and I wish we could hear about it. And I would give a shout-out to Donald Trump and Rand Paul and a lot of these people. They're doing many good things, but you know what? If you report it to the new media taking center stage, we'll run with it and tell the tale. We'll let people know what's going on. We'll work on it and partner in the solutions. Because if we have more of that, look, Congress, the Senate said we're not going to, you know, continue the war in Yemen here. We're going to back out of that now that we're finding out that there's less funding. So you know what? There's a lot underway. What we've got to do is give support and traction to these efforts. But I submit that it's very hard to do so when you don't know about them. I mean, this happened how many months ago, Kurt? I'm grateful for WorldNet Daily covering it. I'm grateful that we can pick up on it and cover it. But when did this actually happen?
It's a good point, Sam, but it was months ago, apparently.
Okay, you know, see what I mean?
I remember hearing something about us withholding aid to the Palestinians, but not much.
You know? And it's the kind of thing where even if you might hear a blip about it, unless you have the time to dig into it, how do you help? How do you carry it forward? How do you promote it or talk about it or give it credence or whatever words you want to use? Would love to. It's just there's so many things to keep an eye on, Kurt.
Yeah, and especially if you follow the money, you know, like I think Rush Limbaugh used to say this, but follow the money and you follow it from us to the Palestinians and then to the terrorists, you go, hey, we're pretty much directly funding that, you know. And
sad,
so that's
true.
Why when you stop that, makes perfect sense.
And that's why when Rand Paul and Donald Trump are pushing for less war, the people need to know about it, Kurt. That's all I can say.
That's exactly right.
All right. Tyler Durden wrote an incredible piece, quote, I know where all the bodies are buried. Kurt?
Yeah. You know, and this is, you know, in my opinion, something that everyone should know about. But, you know, it goes on to say Clinton Foundation CFO spills beans to investigators. And so you're talking about the chief financial officer there of the Clinton Foundation. He thought he was meeting an old professional acquaintance, and he admitted to investigators that the charity had widespread problems with governance, accounting, and conflicts of interest, and that Bill Clinton has been commingling business and personal expenses for a long time. And this is also according to The Hill's John Solomon. Clinton Foundation CFO Andrew Kessel made the admissions to investigators from MDA Analytics.
We've got more on this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to break it down just for you. Sam and Kurt talking about a Tyler Durden story. They know where all the bodies are buried. How come we're only hearing in the press about Donald's foundation, not about Clinton's foundation, when Clinton's foundation is under investigation and they're getting paid her, huh? He who owns the media makes the rules. That's why.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, we're talking about this incredible article written by Tyler Durden. I know where all the bodies are buried. Clinton Foundation CEO spills beans to investigators. What I find fascinating about this is we're only hearing in the news about Donald's foundation, right? But you got Clinton Foundation literally being investigated, literally finding criminal activity, commingling of funds, and all kinds of shenanigans. And I don't hear a word of it from the mainstream press, Kurt, do you?
No, Sam. I mean, it's certainly not front page, front and center like anything. I mean, you have to, like I say, dig very deep for it. I think if you asked 1,000 people, you'd be lucky to find one that, you know, was aware of it. They say in the story, they talk about 6,000 pages of evidence from a whistleblower they say that the Clinton Foundation engaged in illegal activities, that they may owe millions in unpaid taxes and penalties. These are some of the quotes from The Hill. In addition to the IRS, the firm's partners have had contact with prosecutors in the Maine Justice Department in Washington and FBI agents in Little Rock, Arkansas. A federal prosecutor suddenly asked for documents from their private investigation. The memo also claims that Kessel, remember that's the CFO, confirmed to the private investigators that private lawyers reviewed the foundation's practices once in 2008 and the other in 2011, and each found widespread problems.
Now let me stop you
governance.
There. So listen to this. From 2008, now it's 18, so 10 years later, or if you want to do the 11 time frame, then 7 years later, we're finding out that this is widespread fraud going on here. There's no accountability. There's nobody doing anything about it. It's hardly been reported. A little blip here or there, but other than that, nothing. I don't understand it, Kurt.
Well, except you explained it well just as we exited the last segment, Sam, when you said he who owns the media makes the rules. The media's darling was Hillary Clinton. And if you brought this out, Sam, especially during the last election, you could have basically taken her down for sure. And yet, if you keep it covered up and don't report it, then most people don't know that there's all this stuff going on.
Well, if Donald would go to us, we could make sure that it got reported, Kurt. President Trump and other people would go to us. Who does Tyler Durden write for?
As far as I know, it's, let's see, let me look.
Is that Breitbart or WorldNet Daily? It's hard for me to keep track of some of the different people and where they're at. They're doing such a good job, though.
That's right. It's in the new media, and he's quoting sources from places like The Hill and others. But, you know, the bottom line is if this same information was spread out like they try to promote all these evil things, whether it's about the Trump Foundation or all these other areas in the Trump world, man, they could take down the Clintons easy, but... still, they leave him alone, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they talk about him.
Tyler Durden, in my opinion, doing a great job.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? Is there going to be any accountability here? I mean, Donald tells you that they're criminals. Donald knows this, right, Kurt?
Well, if he doesn't, I mean, why would he not? I mean, he said over and over during his campaign, lock her up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And yet, as we've mentioned, it seems like there's no real justice or, you know, activity going on at all there. And yet, it seems like the wheels of justice are grinding, well, some of his associates more and more. You know what I mean?
You know, I think Rand Paul and Donald Trump and some of these people need to use the new media, taking center stage more. Because I just think what would happen. By the way, that article's written from Zero Hedge, is who Tyler wrote
that
piece for.
Good point.
And Zero Hedge doing a great job. There's all kinds of great. There's great organizations, Kurt, in the new media. I mean, we're just one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wish there was a way for me to highlight all of and work with all of them. But there's a lot of new media taking center stage folks focusing on it. I don't see it in Fox or CNN or any of that kind of stuff, but I see a lot of websites covering this, conservative websites. And this is serious business, though. I want accountability here. I want due process for these people because I never want to violate due process, but I want accountability and transparency here. And I'm telling you, if we know that from 2008 and 2011, don't tell me we don't have time. Now, I demand a speedy trial for these guys too, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know what on earth is going on. And I appreciate Tyler writing the piece. All right, speaking of the negative, remember how I always tell you the liberals put their money where their mouth is and the conservatives never do? And I know Kurt doesn't like that because it's too broad of a statement. It's all-inclusive. And Kurt's right. It's not all. It's true. But I'm telling you that the conservatives have a playbook that's like bury your head in the sand. And the liberals have a playbook that says, hey, let's get involved and do something. And this headline, in my opinion, articulates the point here. Now, I agree that some conservatives do good and you know, not all liberals are whatever. But for the most part, this seems to be the mentality. And the reason that I bring it up is because I think we ought to change our focus, our mentality, our efforts. Headline says Planned Parenthood urges holiday presents for Mike Pence, Kurt. I mean, the liberals want to give Mike Pence some gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see how creative these guys are, Kurt? They want to just love on Mike Pence, don't they?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. For example, they say among the items on the list is the ever-popular donation to the Planned Parenthood Action Fund in Pence's name. They say there's some other things on there. For example, they announced that this one guy named an actress named Kunis, Mila Kunis, she told Conan O'Brien that she donates to Planned Parenthood in Pence's name to protest his pro-life policies. She's also the Jim Beam global brand spokesperson. There's a number of other things that some people buy, but the bottom line is they're opposing Mike Pence. They say the world would be a better place if only Mike Pence asked himself, what would Ruth Bader Ginsburg do?
Running around asking what Jesus would do, and these guys are going, what would Ruth do?
That's right.
I find this interesting, and the reason that I highlight this is what I'm talking about, Kurt. When would we be so creative is to say, hey, let's donate, you know, for example, let's donate to the Prison Reform Fund in Bill Clinton's name or something like that. Or let's, you know, we're not creative. We just don't do any of these things. We're just off on our own deal, and we wouldn't spend a penny unless we got back a gazillion pennies, right? And we wouldn't.
Yeah.
But these people put their money where their mouth is, and they're very creative in doing it. They're literally mocking Mike Pence and funding the opposition with their mocking. And they're like, hey, let's give a Christmas present to Planned Parenthood in the name of, well, let's give the Christmas present to Mike Pence. They're mocking him, and let's, you know, donate to Planned Parenthood in his name to oppose everything that he stands for and does. Now, I commend Mike Pence for his pro-life stance, but I'm saying, why don't we get that creative, Kurt?
Yeah, or at least, in my opinion, we ought to be on offense instead of continually on defense. And
that's right.
You know, at the end of this article, it says a pro-life advocate, Pence, was the first sitting vice president to have addressed the annual March for Life event, which is held on the National Mall each year on the anniversary of the Supreme Court's invention of a right to abortion in Roe v. Wade, though no right has ever existed in the Constitution.
That's exactly spot on. And I said, good for Mike Pence. When is this event, Kurt? To the conservatives, probably don't even know. Do you know when it is?
It's basically the same time as they have that, where they had the crazy women's thing there with the...
Yeah, but when is it? Do you know, Kurt?
Stuff. I would assume the March for Life would be in March, but...
All right. We got to find that out, though, and this is something that we need to cover. And this is kind of my point, is that, hey, we need to really put our efforts into this. Just think if we would, Kurt, and I'm not here to attack anybody. I am here to encourage people to do more. And just imagine if we were to put a pro-life push that was serious right now. You know, what could we do with it? Do you think we could get anything done? Look, we still have control of the courts, Kurt, don't we?
I was wrong, Sam.
It's in January.
The next March for Life will be January 18th,
yeah.
2019. And so I guess that's when we celebrate the
If you're going to go, you better hurry up and get your plane ticket, you Kurt.
Good point. Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is these people are serious, and they put their time and their efforts and their money where their mouth is and stuff like that. I guess a man is left unable to speak, walk, see, or even breathe. Kurt, you want to finish up on this one this hour?
Yeah, good point, Sam. You know, in this article, this source is mailonline.com across the pond. But this was after a couple of days after getting the flu jab. That's what the headline reads. Your words almost exactly, Sam. It says, Shane Morgan had the jab on November 2nd to protect his baby son, Briar, from flu. Less than 2 days later, he started to lose feeling in his arms and legs, rushed to the hospital where he spent 4 days in intensive care on a ventilator. Still in the hospital, he's been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. You know, and they tell us over and over, yeah, they're safe and effective. Right, Sam?
Yeah, and our prayers are with this poor guy. This is why, you know, they say these vaccines are safe and effective. But I guess I don't know what safe and effective means, Kurt, exactly.
Yeah, well, it's a source of big money for
well,
the
what it means, yeah, it means that the ends justify the means, is, right?
Yeah, it looks like to me the sad thing is, you know, when you analyze it and say, hey, well, why does our government have this massive slush fund to, you know, pay those people who've been injured? And why can't you sue the makers of these things? You know, it just doesn't pass the smell test, Sam.
Well, it's a problem. And Donald, and as far as I understand, in the debate stage, they even discussed these issues a little bit, and Rand Paul and
exactly
I think
right.
Ben Carson, Dr. Carson, and Donald Trump, all of them kind of said, hey, you know what? We believe there should be choice in vaccines, and vaccines aren't all what they're cracked up to be or whatever and stuff like that. And why haven't we heard a word since? This is a serious issue. If you want to talk about your body and your choice, how come you can murder a baby but you can't not take the jab? And we really got to double down on these things. But the only people that are going to pick it up and create real discussions around this are the new media taking center stage. Remember, he who owns the media makes the rules. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. We are live the day after Christmas. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.